All right, let's open our Bibles now to Isaiah chapter 55. Now listen. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Who's saying this? Whose words are these? Whose voice is this? Not Isaiah, not one of the prophets. It's God, the Heavenly Father. Every word in this 55th chapter comes from the mouth of God Almighty Himself. That's what makes this chapter special and unique, and have a message for you and me tonight. These are the words of the living God. The Lord speaks, and it's evident to whom He's speaking. He begins by saying, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth," I'm talking to you, you who thirst, not in the natural sense. God provides the water for people to drink in the natural sense, but He's talking about the spiritual sense here. You who thirst for God, you who thirst for forgiveness, you who thirst for the grace of God, you who thirst for fellowship with the living God, you or Gentile, everyone that thirsts, old or young, old granddad or a young lad or lass, male or female, everyone who thirsts, everyone. Blessed are they who thirst. Our Lord Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they're going to be filled. They're going to be filled. And that's what the Heavenly Father is talking about here. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Well, come to the water. Come ye, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Plural, waters. Come to Christ. He said to the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. And you'd never thirst again. Come to Christ. He's the fountain. He's the one to whom God has given all things. He's the one in which God has vested all things. He's the one who said on the last day of the feast, if any man thirst, come to me. Come to the waters. Come to me. And out of his belly shall flow rivers, rivers, rivers of living water. Waters, waters. Isaiah talks about waters. Let me read you a passage over here. He says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Jehovah, God is my Savior. He's my strength and He's my song, and He has become my salvation. The Lord Jehovah has become my salvation. He has become a man in the flesh and redeemed me. Therefore, with joy shall I draw water out of the wells of salvation. Listen again over here in Isaiah. He says, now strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, and say to all of them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come, even God with a recompense. He'll come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And in the wilderness shall waters break out with streams in the desert. Come to the waters. Oh, everyone, everyone, God says everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And listen, verse 1. And he that hath no money, he's poor, spiritually bankrupt, poor and needy. What does it mean to be poor spiritually? Well, A.W. Pink says it's to have nothing, be nothing, know nothing. Poor and needy. He that hath no money, deeply in debt to God, bankrupt with nothing to pay. Those who are most guilty, those who fit the description in Revelation 3:17, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He that hath no money, nothing to pay. When they had nothing to pay, he forgave them. But you got to come down to that place with nothing. Nothing to pay. And if you have no money and nothing to pay and you're thirsty, he said, come. Come ye, buy. Buy and eat. Well, how can you buy when you got nothing to pay? According to whose store you're in. It all depends on who owns the store. The prodigal son was over there sitting on the fence of the pig pen, ragged and dirty and poor, wretched, miserable, bankrupt, homesick, nothing to pay, nothing. He took stock of his condition. And he said, servants in my father's house have more than I have. I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. He got that right, hadn't he? I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. And I have nothing. I'm nobody. Make me a hired servant. What did his father say? Bring the best robe. He doesn't have anything, but bring the best robe. But he can't pay. Bring the best robe. But he's got no money. Bring the best robe. Put it on. Bring him some shoes. Shoes are expensive. Bring him some shoes. Put a ring on his finger. He's my son. Kill the fatted calf. But that's, we've been saving that. Kill the fatted calf. My son's home. That's what he's talking about here. You thirsty? You weary? You heavy laden? You hungry? You bankrupt? You have nothing to pay? You're in debt? You willing to be made a hired servant? He'll make you a son. Come, buy, and eat. Yeah, come. He says come three times. This is the Father speaking. This is not an evangelist. This is not somebody trying to get folks down the aisle. This is not somebody trying to get professions of faith. This is not somebody trying to build a church. This is the Heavenly Father, the gracious God who delights to show mercy. He says, come. Everyone that's thirsty, come to the waters. Waters cleanse. Waters refresh. If you have nothing to eat, nothing to pay, no money, come buy wine to gladden the heart, to cheer the soul. Come buy milk to give life and health. Just come on, it's free. Come on. And the Father says in verse 2, well, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you spend money? Time, labor, energy, efforts, your whole lifetime. For that which is not bread, it's not, it won't feed you at all. It won't satisfy the soul. It doesn't satisfy. You labor for that which satisfieth not. Why do you do that? I believe the Father is talking about two things here that, in general, occupy the minds and hearts and activities of people in this world. The two things. One is the world itself. The world itself. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul. It's not bread. It doesn't satisfy. Turn to Luke chapter 12 and listen to our Lord on this subject. Luke chapter 12, I believe it's verse 15. Luke 12, verse 15. The master said unto them, Luke 12, 15, take heed, beware of covetousness. Why do you spend money and labor and strive and activities and planning and for the things of this world? For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That's not where life is. That's not where life is. That's not bread. That doesn't satisfy. That's materialism. And he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, now what am I going to do? I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater barns, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? The world, the flesh. It doesn't satisfy. It's not bread. The second thing that people are actively engaged in is religion. False religion. False religion. Why do you spend your time and labor and efforts for that which is not bread? It's not the living bread. Religion's not the bread. Christ is. Religion doesn't satisfy, doesn't give peace. Christ does. Over there in Isaiah 45, listen, he speaks about these people here in Isaiah 45. He says in verse 20, in Isaiah 45, 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, you that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images and pray to a God that cannot save. Why would you pray to a God that cannot save? People do. God's done all he can do. That's up to you. Why do you pray to a God that cannot save? Why do you pray to a God that cannot hear? He says down here further in verse 21, he says, there's no God beside me. I'm a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look to me and be you saved. Look to me. Look to me. But these people that pray to a God that cannot save and spend their time laboring in a religion that does not satisfy and bread that does not profit. One day they'll say to him, we preached in your name, did many wonderful works. And he said, I never knew you. There's those two things. We labor for the world, and a man gained the whole world and lose his soul. What's he got? We labor in religion, false religion, works, duties, and deeds, and hear him say, I never knew you. Never knew you. Now listen to him. Verse 2, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which can never satisfy? Hearken diligently. Oh, listen carefully, says to me. Hearken to me. Eat that which is good. Christ, the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. He that eateth my flesh and drinks my blood will never thirst, will never hunger. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. What is this fatness? The word is abundance. And I tell you where it's revealed to us, in Psalm 36. Turn over there, Psalm 36. Fatness. He said, now don't spend your time trying to accumulate things in this world that rust, moth, doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. Don't spend your time in a religion that's not bread and doesn't satisfy, and hear him say at that last day, I never knew you. Hearken diligently unto me and come to me and eat that which is good. Christ is good. Eat Christ. Feed on Christ. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now listen to Psalm 36, verse 5 through 8. Thy mercy, O God, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings, and they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and that you shall make them drink of the river of your pleasure, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. There it is. There it is. Why do you spend your money and your time and your effort for that which is not bread? And for that which satisfies not. This is God speaking. Listen to me. Hearken to me. Eat that which is good. Feed on Christ Jesus. And enjoy and revel in and feast in the fatness of my house, my church, Zion, my people, where the living water flows, where the bread of life is preached, where the fountain of life flows freely. Ah, oh, my, let your soul delight itself in the fatness of my house. The abundance never runs dry. These great hymns, reading of the word, praying of God's people, preaching of the gospel, that's food for the soul. It makes tomorrow a better day and tonight a better night. Verse 3, the faithfulness of our God. Now hear his instructions. This is God, our Lord, our God speaking. Hear his instructions. Incline your ear. He didn't say walk or work or run or do or obey. He said pay attention. Incline your ear. Incline your ear. Is that asking too much? That's such a small thing. Just turn your ear. He said, turn your ear now towards me. Incline your ear. And secondly, he said, and come to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Now sit at my feet. Oh, Mary chose the good thing, didn't she? Sat at his feet. Every time they mention her, she's the one that sat at his feet. Come to me. We have an altar. Yes, we do. It's Christ. We have an altar. That's what Paul said in Hebrews. It's Christ. You come to the altar. We have a priest, a great high priest. You come to the priest. It's Christ. We have a church. It's his body. It's a temple of living stones. You come to Christ. We have an atonement by whom we have received the atonement, Christ Jesus. We have a hope. Come to me. Incline your ear. Now listen, thirdly, hear me. Now that's the key. Hear me. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Do you hear me, sir? Can you hear me? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The Father said, turn your ear my way now, and you come to me and hear me. Hear me. And your soul will live. The word is nigh unto thee, Paul said. The word of faith is nigh unto thee. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's the word of God. It's the word of Christ. If you hear, you'll live. Your soul will live. Now, I'm telling you, that dude, look at a while. Incline your ear and come to me and hear me. And your soul will live forever. And more than that, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. I'll make an everlasting covenant. He said over there in Jeremiah 30, let me just read it to you. Jeremiah 30, verse 9, I'll make a covenant with you. Jeremiah chapter 32, he said, I'll make a covenant with you. Verse 38, Jeremiah 32, you'll be my people and I'll be your God. And I'll give you one heart and one way that you'll fear me forever for the good of them and your children after them. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And I'll not turn away from you to do you good. I'll put my fear in your heart and you won't leave me. I'll make a covenant with you. I sure will. Even the sure mercies of David. See that? Even the sure mercies of David. Now, who's this David? It's Christ. It's Christ. That's where I was looking at in Jeremiah 30, verse 9. That's Christ is called David in Jeremiah and Ezekiel time and time and time again. This is after David was already dead and buried. But he says here, they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king I will raise up unto them. And then Ezekiel chapter 34, he says this, verse 23. And I'll set one shepherd over them, and he'll feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be a prince among them. Ezekiel 37, verse 24, he says this, listen. And David, my servant, will be a king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall all walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. The sure mercies of David. I will incline my ear and come to thee, and I'm going to hear and believe and trust. And he says, and my soul will live. And I'll make with you an everlasting covenant so when you lie down to die, you can say what David said. I'm not afraid. Although it be not so with my house, God made an everlasting covenant with me. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. And this is all my salvation and all my desire. A sure everlasting covenant with all the mercies of David. Based on what? Look at verse 4. Here's the reason these mercies are sure. Because, behold, I have given him. God so loved the world, he gave his son. I have given him. I have given him. This is God speaking still. For a witness to the people, he's our witness. That's what our Lord said to Pilate over here. Let me read it to you. Pilate said to our Lord, listen. Pilate said to him, are you a king? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth will hear my voice. God spake to our fathers with the prophets. He's spoken to us by his Son. I've given him for a witness unto the people. Listen, I've given him as a leader. He's the teacher. I've given him a commander. He's the king. Prophet, priest, and king. I've given him. Now then, the Father speaks to the Son. Verse 5. Behold, thou, the witness, the leader, the commander, thou shall call a nation thou knowest not. That's the Gentiles. He knows them, but they didn't know him. Didn't look like he knew them either back yonder. Nothing but the Jews had the law and the prophets and the priests. And nations that knew not thee shall run to thee. Who said so? God said, I did, because of the Lord your God. That's the reason. Because I willed it. I purposed it. They'll run to thee because of the Lord thy God. They'll run to thee. They'll come willingly. Do men come to Christ? Oh, yeah. Do they come willingly? Oh, yeah. Are they brought against their will? Oh, no. They'll be made willing in the day of his power. They'll come running. You won't have to pull them and drag them and beg them and buy them and bribe them and reward them. They'll come running. Just come running. They're going to run for the Holy One of Israel. He hath glorified thee. Father, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And one day a voice came from heaven and said, I've both glorified it, and I'll glorify it again, and again, and again. I've both glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. God has glorified him, the Son, to be our Redeemer, our Savior. He glorified him when he made him in human flesh. It says here, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee, he glorified him. And he glorified him when he raised him from the grave, and glorified him when he seated him at his right hand. I've glorified thee. So you people, verse 6, all of you that are thirsty and weary and heavy laden, have nothing to pay, no money, tired of living on the husk of the pig pen, seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord, the gracious God, who delights to show mercy. But I seek him while he may be found. Seek him while the gospel's preached. You may not hear it down the road. Seek him while others are being awakened. Because that's when the Spirit of God is moving. You see the movement of the wind. It's not dry and parched and thirsty. It's moving. When others are being awakened, seek him while you can still hear him. Seek him while he may be found. Seek him while he's near. That's what that's saying, while he's near. Paul said he's not far from any of us, because in him we live and move and have our being. You don't have to go down to a building to find God. Just turn and there he is. There he is. In him we live and move and have our being. Call on him. Bartimaeus did. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Canaanite woman did. Lord, have mercy on me. The leper did. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. I'd sure like to be whole. If you will, you make me whole. Seek him while he may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way. The unrighteous man is tossed. Now, don't be offended by that word wicked. That's what we are by nature. By Adam's fall, ungodly, don't let that offend you. Christ died for the ungodly. That's what we are by nature, ungodly. If a man doesn't have God, he's ungodly. If a man's not holy, he's wicked. You can't be middle ground. You ain't no neutral in this deal. You're wicked. Let the wicked. That's what we are by nature. We're either holy in Christ or we're wicked out of Christ. We are either godly in Christ or ungodly without Christ. There's no nice way to describe sin. It's a state. It's a nature. It's an attitude. It's a spirit. It's a spirit that hates God. That's wicked. It's a spirit that says, I'll be God. That's wicked. That's ungodly. That's evil. That's what we are if we hadn't bowed to Him, if we hadn't submitted to Him, if we hadn't surrendered, laid down our shotgun. Let the wicked forsake his way, his way, his way of flesh, his way of works, his way of self-righteousness, his way of rebellion. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord. Let him return to the Lord. And you know what? The Lord will have mercy. The emphasis here is not on how evil we are, it's how good He is. That's what I'm trying to preach tonight. I'm not trying to emphasize how evil we are. I think we know. But I'm trying to show you how good He is, how gracious, how faithful He is, how merciful He is. God is merciful. God delights to show mercy. Let me ask you a question, two questions. Number one, in the parable of the lost sheep, who's the main character? It ought to be the parable of the shepherd, because it's not the lost sheep. It's the shepherd. He's the main character. That sheep's out there wandering around. He doesn't know who he is or where he is. But the shepherd knows. He's my sheep. I love him. I'm going after him. And I'll hunt him till I find him. And I'll put him on my shoulders. And I'll bring him home. The shepherd. His greatest glory is his love for and compassion for and mercy to the lost sheep. In the parable of the prodigal son, who's the main character? The prodigal son? Oh, no. There's a million like him. They're everywhere. There are a lot of prodigal sons. Worthless, no good. The Father. The compassion and mercy and grace of that loving Father who had days and months on end looked for that son to come home with love and compassion and forgiveness. And he finally saw him. And he was running out there and fell on his neck and kissed him. He told everybody, rejoice with me. My son, the boy interrupted him. I'm not worthy to be a son. You shut your mouth. I'm talking now. This is my son. This is my son. He's lost. He's found. Strike up the band. Bring in the guest. Let's have a feast. Yeah, but I did. Forget it. It's over. God's compassionate. I tell you, our God in Christ is gracious, merciful. His promise of pardon is absolute, unconditional, and eternal. He delights to show mercy, and His chief glory is His goodness. The problem's with us. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's where the problem is. It's with you. You will not. How oft would I have gathered you, he said to Israel, as a hen doth gather her brood. You would not. You would not. The real emphasis of this whole chapter is the mercy of God, the compassion, mercy, graciousness of our God. For he says in verse 8, he said, your thoughts are not my thoughts. You've got to leave your thoughts and your ways. They're not my ways. But watch this. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts and your thoughts. I'm telling you, one can't conceive a greater distance than from heaven to earth. One cannot conceive a greater distance than from heaven to earth. And I'm talking about to space and spirit. Our thoughts are fleshly. His are spiritual. Our thoughts are finite. His are infinite. Our thoughts are evil continually. That's what it says in Genesis. Man's imagination of his heart is evil continually. God's thoughts are holy continually. Our thoughts are of self. His thoughts are of his covenant and mercy and grace. Our thoughts and plans and ways perish with us. His are from everlasting to everlasting. So ours have got to be forsaken. Our thoughts and our ways have got to be put down, surrendered, submitted. Look to Him. Thy will be done. Thy way, not my way, O Lord. Well, here's the big question in closing. How does one find the thoughts of God? How does one find the ways of God? How does one find the will of God? Well, He's going to tell us. You've got to forsake your way and your thoughts. They're not my ways and my thoughts. But here's where you'll find my ways and my thoughts. As the rain cometh down from heaven, and the snow, and returneth not thither, but the rain and the snow watereth the earth. And that rain and that snow makes the earth bring forth and bud. There's life in the rain, life in the water, life in the snow, that it may bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And so shall my word be, my word that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It'll prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. As God sends the rain to nourish, give life to the seed on the earth, that we may have something to eat. So He sends His word, and His word convicts and quickens. Of His own will begat He us through the word. We're born again of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. His word is preached and read, and it quickens, it convicts, it converts, it calls out a people for His name. Now let me show you that right here in this same verse. Verse 11. So shall my word, it's my word. The Lord Jesus said in John 10, they're my sheep. They're my sheep. My word, my sheep. It goeth out of my mouth. They'll hear my voice, He said. My sheep hear my voice. It goes out of my mouth, my word. It shall not return unto me void. They'll follow me. You see that, Ronnie? He said, my sheep, my word's intended for my sheep. And it goes out of my mouth. They hear my voice. He that heareth you heareth me, He said to the apostle. And it shall not return unto me useless, void, it accomplished. They'll follow me. It accomplished that which I please. I give them eternal life. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. They'll never perish. That's my word. Oh, I thought those two, my word, my sheep. Goes out of my mouth, they'll hear my voice. It won't return void. They'll follow me. It'll accomplish that which I please. I'll give them eternal life. And it'll prosper to the thing I sent it. They'll never perish. But that's the word. Oh, the power of it. The power of the word of God. It's the dunamis. It's the dynamite. It's the power of God unto salvation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In closing, here's the joy. Here's the accomplishment. The God, our Father, still speaking. And you'll go out with joy out of your bondage, darkness, sorrow, curse of the law. Joy in your heart. You'll be led forth with peace, led forth by the Spirit of Christ to the Christ who is the King of peace. And even the mountains and the hills will break forth in singing. You know, Paul wrote that in Romans chapter 8. He said the creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. And the creation, the mountains and the hills, are going to break into singing. And all the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. It's over. The curse is gone. Redeemed. Free. Set free from death. Never to die. Instead of the thorn, God told Adam the thorns will come up when you plant your seed. Not anymore. Fir trees. Instead of the briar, no more briars. The myrtle tree. I'll give you life, and I'll give the creation life. And this shall be to the Lord for a name. To the Lord for a name. The Father hath given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And it'll be for an everlasting sign that'll never be cut off. That is, my friend, the Word of God. That is, I can't give you the Word of God any more than that, what I've given you now. That's the Word of God, a gracious God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bringing? And you labor for that which satisfies not? Come unto me, eat, and your soul will live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David never sung a song that you can't sing, or prayed a prayer you can't pray, or entertained a hope you can't have. Never did. It's for all the sons of David. All right.